Good to have you back, Howard. Always. That passage, that was what Eisenhower had his mom hold the Bible open to, that passage when he took the vow to become president. Little piece of trivia there for those of you who like that type of stuff, which is nobody in this room. I don't know why. Why do I even say things like that? I should have been a PBS History Channel person. That's all, you know. Yeah, so. All right, and I know Lisa's not here, but how many of you have ever been to China? You ever been to China? Oh, shoot. Really? Three of you? Four of you? Five? Oh.
My mom went.
You're one? Okay, well, you don't have to listen to this story then. I didn't think anybody would have been there, so I could have just said anything. All right. So a long time ago, Shanghai used to be called the armpit of the world. All right? The armpit of the world. Back in the 1930s, when Hitler's final solution was active and working throughout the country of Germany and later through Europe, Shanghai was one of the few ports that were open to receiving Jews. Ursula Bacon and her family lived in Germany. They made that 8,000-mile trip, escaping Germany by the skin of their teeth, to arrive in what they thought was going to be that storybook China. Instead, when they arrived, they found peddlers, thievery, robbery, opium dens. They found that they were all living in small, squalid places with no facilities at all. That's where Ursula grew up. 8 years of her life growing up under those kind of harsh conditions. But Ursula remembers that every morning when she would leave their little apartment to go off to the warehouse where everybody was crammed in for the school, because the Jewish community was bound and determined that their children would receive an education, she would have to pass by Mrs. Goldberg's place. And Mrs. Goldberg would sit on a chair waiting for Ursula to come down the sidewalk. And she would stop Ursula, and every day they played this game. Every day she would say, "You child, you stop." Now, what does darling, you know how, with that accent, darling, what does Mrs. Goldberg tell you every day? And Ursula, aware of the game, would say, "I don't know." "Well, darling, I will just have to tell you again. You go out today and you make a miracle happen. God is busy. He can't do everything. He's counting on you. Now you go out and make a miracle today." Give her a big smile, pat on the bottom, and send her away. Later in life, Ursula would say, "In the harshest times of my life, Mrs. Goldberg gave me wings to fly, gave me a purpose and a meaning to my life, to help me understand that the circumstances I was in did not have to contain who I was." It's a powerful, powerful gift to be able to give to someone. Belief when things are looking so terrible. Strength when things are looking so harsh. That's what Paul was doing in that letter to the church in Rome. Encouragement to people when they're suffering and persecution and pain and tribulation and all these things. You heard the account. It's not the first time you've heard that passage. You heard him list all the things that are going on. All the people were sitting there in that congregation when they heard those words read. They were nodding their head. They knew what Paul was talking about. They understood that kind of pain. They understood that kind of suffering. He was speaking their language. They understood. Back in December of 1955, I had just graduated, actually. Thank you for laughing. Everybody else is believing me. In December of 1955, though, E.D. Nixon, some of you may know that name, E.D. Nixon, was the president of the local chapter of the NAACP in Montgomery, Alabama. And earlier that day, Rosa Parks had been dragged off the bus, jailed and fined. And people were meeting at the Holt Street Baptist Church because they were upset. What were they going to do about this? They were indignant. They were angry. What were they going to do about this? And E.D. Nixon had decided that he would ask the new young preacher to come in and maybe start the meeting with a prayer or something. And that young preacher, you know him, Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, that's the guy. Now, you would think he would want to be telling the people, look, this is dangerous times. This is troubling times. We've got to keep our heads low, people. We've got to keep our voices low, people. We've got to keep our profile low, people. Look what they're doing to us. They're dragging us off buses. They're putting us in jail. Don't cause any waves. Don't cause any tour. Shh, shh. Got to wait for it to pass. But you know, that is not what he said. What he said was, there comes a time when tired people get fed up and they need to rise up. E.D. Nixon didn't expect that. The people gathered there didn't expect that. It began as a meeting. It left as a movement. Ever hear of the Montgomery bus boycott? Yeah, yeah. It was supposed to just be a meeting. It became a movement. You can't meet in a church and have a preacher preach and then all of a sudden leave unmoved. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to leave here the same way that you came in today. You're supposed to leave different. Something is supposed to be different. Something stirs inside of you. All of a sudden you hear God speaking to you. Maybe it's words of affirmation. Maybe it's words of assurance. But whatever it is that God has given you, maybe it's a promise. Maybe it's a vision. But whatever it is that God has given you, you have to claim it. That's what happened at that Holt Street Baptist Church. The people claimed the vision. That's what Ursula did. She claimed the vision that Mrs. Goldberg was giving to her. You claim the vision. You claim the promise that God has a victory for you. Now, that does not mean that you're not going to be engaged. Sometimes you're going to be engaged in a battle you don't want to be engaged in, but that's where God calls you. See, part of the problem we have in our churches today is everybody thinks they're on a cruise liner. Seriously, we're on a cruise ship. We think of God as the entertainment director instead of the captain of the ship. Have you ever noticed how we are about that? It's all about our comfort, our convenience, hassle-free. That's the kind of life we want to have. Self-indulgent, it's all about me. You ever notice how people are leaving that? I can tell you in a worship service, I didn't feel fed. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was our job. I just wasn't moved today. I thought this was supposed to be about God. When it becomes about us, we've lost our focus. When all of a sudden we talk about how I want this, I wish that, this would happen for me, that would happen, then we're not using life. Look, this is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. A cruise ship is all about comfort and convenience. A battleship has a mission. It has a focus. It recognizes God as our captain, leading us into troubling times, leading us where people need hope, leading us because there are people who are under fire. Look, we are the church people. What Howard said at the beginning there, there are people right now, okay, who are entrenched, who are afraid, who are losing, and they need to hear that somebody is on their side. And that's us. We're those people. We are the body of Christ, called and commissioned by God Himself, anointed for this time, anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit for this hour, to be able to go out into the community, to go out into the world, to go out to people who are frightened, who are afraid, and give them not promises that everything's going to be okay, but promises that God is going to be with them. God is with them, even in times of persecution, even in times of turmoil, whether it's financial, it could be health, whatever that tribulation is that you're going through, you're not going through it alone. That God is with us all the time. It is an important message at all times, but especially for today. Ursula Bacon, now she's probably dead by now, but I don't want to wish ill on her, but she's well advanced in years. She used to go to middle schools. She used to go to middle schools, and they would have assemblies for her to speak about the Holocaust and all that terrible, terrible stuff that would happen. But you can imagine the kind of audience, all right? Really? That's exactly what a bunch of, you know, middle school age boys want to hear is, oh my God, really? Another boring teacher, old person, telling me something again that happened a long time ago. You know, I mean, they are not listening. They are not listening. Except for what happens is she gets up to the microphone and the first thing she talks about is how she had a pet cockroach when she was growing up. A pet cockroach? She talks about how she didn't have a toilet for 8 years. Now, that may disgust us, but boy, middle school boys, he's pretty interested in what you got to say. Well, that's pretty interesting. That lady had a pet cockroach. Didn't have a toilet, but she had a pet cockroach. What kind of lady is this? What happens? Now they're beginning to hear. And it isn't about Jews and the Holocaust. It's about the dangers of discrimination. About any time we decide we're going to try to separate what God has united. Anytime we try to divide what God has intended to be one, that there's going to be a price that Christians are going to have to pay. That's the way this works. God did not call us to be comfortable. He has not called us to a life of convenience. He has called us to be Christians, committed, dedicated, with a purpose, to understand that our mission is to be able to go out into the world and to share God's love, to share God's grace with all of God's people. And all of God's people means all of God's people. That's the mission. That's the mission. And the glory of it all for us. And what Paul was trying to tell to the people in Rome, the wonderful part about all of this is that the victory's already been won. The victory's already been won. It was won at the cross. The victory is given to us through Jesus. Through death, resurrection, God reminds us of a hope that not even death can conquer. Hatred can't conquer it. Prejudice can't conquer it. Discrimination. Doesn't matter what it is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us, church, from the mission that God has entrusted to us, because the victory has already been won, and the victory is in Jesus. Amen.